the Dirty Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Port Hueneme, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Good morning to you, afternoon to me.
Yeah. I'm a little tired today, Andy. So last night around 1 a.m., I get woken up by a loud sound, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that was, but like, you know, when you're like, a sound wakes you up, so you're like, it is what has made you awake, but you didn't really process it when it was happening. It's not like you were up to hear the sound. So I was like, what the fuck was that? Then all of a sudden, my dog is fucking walking back and forth between the bedroom and the main room, barking, whatever. Then I see like lights flashing and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Then I hear the other dog out in the other room start barking. Finally, I'm like, maybe this has something to do with the sound that woke me up. And I go outside and a guy who I'm assuming was a drunk driver has a Fast and the Furious style accident literally right outside my house. Car overturned. I mean, Will Kallenbach would have blushed at how bad this accident was. He would have been like, touche, that is a real car accident. Car flipped. Another car that he must have hit while driving, destroyed. Pickup truck that he hit in the aftermath gets shoved into another car. So three cars that were parked along the street, one of them totally demolished. Car flipped upside down. Fire trucks, police, everything. Eventually, I get to watch this guy get pulled out of the car. First, they pulled out a sheet. I was like, oh, somebody's dead. And then there was jaws of life brought out, but I guess they didn't need it. I'm assuming what happened is they determined that it was just the driver in the car, and they were like, well, we can get him out. Pull this guy out of the car. I mean, just one in the morning, mayhem, just action movie, Michael Bay movie right outside the front of my house. The Mexican cowboy I live next to outside, like, gay? What happened?
Pics, vids, or it didn't happen. I need to see some footage.
You know what's funny is I got up. Obviously, you know, as it is, your phone's on the nightstand. And I go out there, and my girlfriend goes out there, and we're sitting in the front window, and we're watching this all go down. I go, We're really missing out on being superstars on Neighborhood right now. We could go get our phones, take all this. Our Neighborhood thread could be blowing up tomorrow.
What's Neighborhood?
Neighborhood's like, you know, your local. It's like Facebook, but for like it's just everybody in your neighborhood. Can't believe you're not a Neighborhood. You're an HOA guy. And then I even said to her, I was like, you know what? I should be taking pics and vids for Neighborhood. I should be putting it up there. And then I'd be like, if you want to see more, go to dirtysports.com. It costs you $7. Get the Neighborhood in there.
You want to see a dead man dragged out of his car. That'll be $7.
He was fine. You know, my girlfriend and I were saying he was wasted. He had to be. And then she kept feeling bad. She was like, maybe he had like a medical incident while he was driving. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to judge on sight alone, but it looks like a guy who's schwasted.
Well, as somebody who's ran a car over a fire hydrant, and as somebody who woke up on a sidewalk, his brain bashed in, I'm going to assume he was drunk just like I was both my times.
Yeah.
I think lucky so. To be alive. That guy is.
Yeah, for sure. And it seemed fine.
That's wild. That's insane. Yeah, that's like something you'd see in Venice. You know, when I used to live in the old Savage Town, some drunk person drove their car through the front, closer to the front entrance, and like straight through the wall. Like, I'm talking like giant hole in the wall, and the person sleeping, you know, the force flew them out of bed. Luckily they weren't hurt. That was like my first couple years living there.
Yeah. Insane, yeah, it was wild. It was a loud enough thing where I was like, what was that? But then I was like, ah, it's nothing. And then like we have the door open so that the dogs can come and go. And I'm seeing flashing lights and dogs barking. I'm like, the fuck? And I went and opened the front window, like literally pull the blinds, and just a scene from like a Transformers movie. I was like, there's a car upside down? There's five cars in an accident? It's 20 cops here? Wild. So a little tired this morning, got the coffee. Thankful that the Mets game, I mean, not thankful that it's postponed, but nice that it's postponed and I didn't have to get up and be like, Ruther, we gotta do dirty sports at 8 a.m. I got a 10 a.m. Mets game. So instead, I'll be watching that tomorrow in Vegas. And yeah, but your team starts today.
They do.
Honestly, the Reds, I didn't know the whole thing about the Reds' first pitch. I didn't know that until you told me that probably 10 years ago. Probably told me it on the denting episode or before. But I think that's a cool thing, and I think you guys should still have it. I don't know why that's not. It's opening day, and there's no 1 p.m. Eastern baseball game now because the Phillies and the Mets have been canceled.
Well, I was actually talking to somebody the other day about that. And again, Major League Baseball used to always do, since the Reds were the first pro team, it didn't matter if it was like a minute ahead. They always had the first pitch. And sometimes it would just be a few minutes ahead of the other teams. Now, that changed, I believe,
when they started doing games overseas, when they started doing the primetime game.
It was the Japan game. I want to say it was like a Dodgers, not sure who else they were playing, Japan game, which... it's a cool tradition. You just keep it. Again, you don't have to affect the times that much.
Yeah.
But it's a holiday here, so they always do an opening day parade. Like, the city shuts down, no lie. And it's a holiday for opening day, and there's always Cincinnati celebrities or former players that are in the parade. And growing up, they would wheel out in class, if you were good in grade school, they'd wheel out the TVs. They put the game on. Like, it was that big of a deal here in Cincinnati.
Now, you have your Cincinnati Reds hat on. You have a Cincinnati Reds shirt. Obviously, your wall behind you, you got a lot of Reds stuff. What is your, like, are you going to go watch a Reds game this year, you think? Isla's first Reds game?
Yeah, I'll go. You know, I was thinking about it actually today. It sucks. It just sucks when you have... I know these owners don't care, but when they tell you to your face, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Like, and then there's no contrition. I mean, we said it best. The easiest move there was an apology, and he works a concession stand for 5 innings, and they do $1 hot dog night or $2 beer night. It's such an easy remedy. And that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago opening day. Now, since then, I went to one game that year, which was for a charity I used to volunteer at. It was for free, and I didn't go to a game last year. So I haven't paid for a Reds game in 2 years.
Just make me one promise, Andy. Make me one promise, because people, you know, we've talked about how our moves to Substack was, in a way, like ensuring that the show continues for a little while. Don't make me end this show because you take Isla to her first Reds game and you come back and you go, you know what? I understand the Nets now. The Nets are a good idea. Yeah, I felt very safe there holding Isla behind the Nets. It was great. I was able to hold her up like Simba during each inning and not worry about a foul ball hitting her, because I will walk away from the show. That would be the end of me.
Yeah, we wouldn't sit up there. We'd sit. They have some accommodating stuff at that stadium. They've added family zones throughout the stadium, which is smart. So, hey, you're bored of this? Cool. There's a jungle gym over there. But it sucks in general, because as you can look in the wall and back of me, baseball was such a huge part of my life growing up, especially going to games because it's affordable, right? Going to games with my dad, going to games with my brothers and my dad, skipping school, going to like see Griffey Jr. or Barry Larkin. It's just, you're a baseball guy, and obviously I've waned in that love of the sport, but it just doesn't have the fanfare, man. Or is that just me? I feel like it doesn't.
I feel like a lot of that, you know, I think that the Nets and there's a lot of like little minor things that add up to it that, you know, it loses some of that, what it had when we were a kid. I think you would be pleasantly surprised. I mean, obviously Isla's a girl. I don't know how much you guys like whatever. I mean, she's still very young, but like, I think you'll be surprised when you go with your kid that it's still awe inspiring for a kid. It's still like, whoa,
for
what
sure
is this? And all the food and all the thing and like whatever, like, you know, I go back and forth. I've always said like, I want to have kids and I go back and forth. I'm like, whether that will or won't happen, but like teaching my kid to keep score is like something like that's like on my to-do list, you know, in life. And I think that that's a big part of it is like the passing down of this game. That's the only way that baseball survives is the passing down of the game to like other generations. And I think that, you know, when I talk about what I would do if I was commissioner of baseball, it is essentially fully focused on that. It's like, if you want to talk about saving this game, it's like, do not think about the present. Only think about the future. Because you can't really, there's nothing you can really do on the fly to adjust something. You know, the Reds aren't going to make one adjustment to the stadium or one adjustment to the concessions or one adjustment to the team even that jumps fan, you know, attendance by 50%. But you can lay groundwork for things that will down the road.
Well here's a prime example. Yeah, and here's
cheaper,
a prime example.
Be family friendly. Like,
well, those two
I would say the only focus, if I would say the I would have like, and I said this, I would have an entire committee. It's like, how do we get dads to bring their kids to games as many times in a year as possible? That's all I want you guys to study. Figure it out.
But there's no studying. It's such an easy remedy of making it family friendly, which most ballparks are. So that's really doesn't need to be changed, I'd argue. But the affordability, here's just a personal anecdote on that. I had lunch yesterday with my sister-in-law's dad, and we started talking about this. So think about this, Joe. You have a 76-year-old man who all he wants to talk to me about is football in the NFL. And I'm thinking like, this is exactly their problem. This is a guy who grew up a baseball guy, right? Like you grow up that way. And somebody who's 76 and we start talking about baseball and he says, you know, I already bought tickets for an early game. He goes, I'm going with a buddy. He goes, they're pretty decent seats. He goes, they're $70 a ticket. And that's what he's saying. And then we had the discussion. He goes, $70. Like, come on, this is a weekday game in April. I'm paying $70 to see the Reds on like a day game.
Yeah. And that's what I was gonna say is, you know, is baseball I don't think they do a good enough job of it. I've said that historically. I think every single day of the Major League Baseball season, every day, I think there should be a day game. That would be one of the adjustments that I made as a commissioner. Every day we have a day game. And it's like, well, people work and whatever. Go, okay, those day games, free for kids under 12. You buy a seat, you show you're bringing kids under 12, you get bubble, however it works, blocks of seats. You know, there's a way to do that for sure. And like, just lure these people to the ballpark. Like, I am a perfect example. As a kid, I go with a friend's, with my dad's friend's kid. Like, these are people I barely knew. It took me to my first baseball game. You know how much money I've given Major League Baseball over my life? Because I went to one game at 6 years old or seven years old. One game. I was just like, what is this? Where am I? Oh, you're at this place that you're going to spend literally tens of thousands of dollars for the rest of your life.
Well, exactly. And I know we've talked about it so many times, and it's the same way. All my memories, like good sports ones as a kid, are, as far as professionally, I'll take Xavier basketball out of it because I went to a lot of those games. It's Reds, man. It's my dad bringing me or my brothers down, because it's a lot, obviously, more expensive to go to see a professional football game, but and it gets you hooked. And I want to bring up the $70, because this is what I said to my sister-in-law's dad yesterday. I said, and this would be the counter, I said, you could probably get Bengals tickets in the nosebleeds around that price. And I said, from an entertainment and a value, now obviously I'm a football guy, but I said, I'd rather sit up in the nosebleeds and watch a Bengals game for $70 than I would a Reds game, decent seats, for $70. But if you told me, hey, you can get those Reds game seats for $25, then I'm taking the Reds. It basically comes down to a money issue.
Yeah. And also, it's just make it so that people want to go often. It's, you know, baseball season is here. I love it. I'm excited about it. You know, but you see all this growth in sports and you see baseball going the opposite way. And you're like, guys, it's not the same kind of thing. You have twice as many games as hockey and basketball. And they have what? Five times as many games as football? You literally have 10 times the amount of games as the NFL season. If an NFL owner's goal is to get every Bengals fan to one Bengals game that year, then it should, the Reds goal should be getting them to 10 Reds games.
Yeah. I agree. And
now the NFL, of course, they're going to keep changing rules, and there will eventually be a 162 game season. So we have, you know, they're doing that. Player safety is really important.
Yeah, no shit. Well,
but I wanted to ask you about your Reds, because we did a Dirty Slides episode on Tuesday, went live. Dirty Slides is now a Substack official property. We're excited to be over here, because now, just like this show, we went via StreamYard, so there's video of it. That's on dirtysports.com for subscribers. And I'm sure we'll do some stuff, you know, in and out of the paywall. But for the most part, Dirty Slides is just you know, a subsection of the Dirty Sports Podcast, and we're stoked about it. But I picked the NL Central, and I had you guys second, and then literally 2 minutes later, I had talked myself out of it. I was like, they don't have enough pitching. They're fourth. Not only did I drop you to third, I dropped you to fourth. I was just like, not enough pitching. Like, I wanted to. I felt like I wanted to root for you guys. I felt like you do have some young, exciting players. But then I just went through it. I'm like, God, if they don't have fucking pitching.
I think that's what the issue is going to be. I totally agree. You know, it's, can the young guys perform? Can, like, Hunter Green really step up his game? Lodolo, can he stay healthy? You know, Ashcroft. Like, the truth is, I don't follow it closely enough. That's the truth. I don't follow. I know they have a bunch of young, phenomenal players, but this goes back to the point. I can't watch Reds games. I have YouTube TV. YouTube TV doesn't do Bally's or whatever it's called now.
Interesting. Diamond.
Well, it's been that way for years. Yeah. The only way I could watch the Reds was if
do MLB.TV, right? Because you'd be blacked out locally.
Correct.
So the only way you could watch it is if you
go to the ballpark.
Or, like, obviously switch cable services or whatever, which you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not. So you I'm can't not watch Reds games.
I can't. I haven't been able to watch Reds games since I moved home.
That's crazy. I watch Mets games via SNY, via
that's my
direct, a DirecTV stream that is based in New York, but that's a whole
but
other
there, but therein lies the problem, right, Joe? How am I supposed to be interested if I can't watch my own team? The only way I could do that is if I got old school cable.
Horrible.
This is Major League Baseball's problem.
Yeah.
If it's not on TV, if it's not accessible, especially the younger generation, you know, my nephew, he loves a lot of NBA stars. There's no team here. Guess what?
Yeah.
He watches YouTube.
Yeah.
But you see my point? Like it's accessible and he can watch games on cable. I just like this again, these are such simple solutions. But Rob Manfred is not the guy to lead.
Yeah.
It's kind of a travesty, to be honest.
I couldn't agree more. And I saw, I think it's John Boy, who, you know, obviously a huge baseball account. And great content, by the way. But I saw a clip of, I don't know if the guy's name himself is John Boy. Anyway, I saw a clip of like sort of the main dude saying, Rob Manfred's going to get credited with saving baseball because of the pitch clock and the shit. And I'm like, he's going to get credited for saving baseball to like people already watching baseball, I guess. Like,
yeah,
I still don't love the pitch clock, but I'm a guy who's watching baseball, whatever. But like the shift. Yeah. I was always in favor of that. But the idea, like none of that's bringing new viewership.
No, and
because
look,
it's only going to keep people from leaving.
So here's a prime example. I can't watch games, right? My basement is basically Isla's little playground now. There are so many times this summer, if I could watch games, the Reds would be on my TV in the background while her and I are playing. Now, subconsciously, she's picking up on this. Even at age one, they are. Kids pick up on a lot. She subconsciously is like, okay, dad's watching baseball or it's on the background while I play with my toys. And for me, the interest level is obviously risen. Oh, I'm familiar with the players on the Reds. I'm familiar with the players on the Cardinals, whoever they're playing. All that's gone when I can't watch them.
Dirtballs, there's got to be a way for Ruther to watch the Reds. Keep in mind, he's basically a boomer dad at this point. So if there's a VPN involved, he's out. If there's any sort of like dummy links, he's out. If things are going to have to be, if you have to jump through any hoops, but there's got to be an easy move here. There's got to be. Does any of your brothers have the cable company that the Reds are on?
I don't think so. I think we're all YouTube TV.
Wow.
The last time I could watch them somewhat consistently was when Brittany and I, you know, we weren't living together and she had traditional cable at her apartment in Covington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I'd put the games on then.
So basically what you need what I have. You need the password to somebody's local cable company so that you can download that app and have their streaming platform.
Listen to what we're talking about though, Joe.
I
need to get someone's password and then go through a hidden tunnel and then knock three times.
I understand.
This is ridiculous to watch my local team
Andy,
play baseball.
I'm saying professional, if I was
a professional, saying, the first professional team, the team that does a goddamn parade. It's basically a holiday here in Cincinnati and I got to go down to the ballpark. I can't do that today.
If I was commissioner, you wouldn't have to do all that. But I'm just trying to solve the problem in front of us right now.
This is going to make me go back to the denting episode where I was an angry little elf.
I know. Yeah.
Listen to it finally.
That was your first ever listening of the denting episode, huh?
It was.
Which is interesting to me because when we first started this podcast, we would put out an episode and you would listen to that episode.
Correct.
For like a long time.
Yeah, I did.
But you skipped the denting one because you couldn't.
I think there was an emotional element, but it was interesting listening to it last night and then today finishing. It was, yeah, the slurred speech was pretty bad. Lots more swearing, lots of anger. My apologies to Dr. Jose. What's interesting in that episode is,
listen, I cut some rants about the hospital staff out.
I'm sure.
So
I'm sure I'd be canceled.
Nah, it wasn't that bad. But there was one part where you ranted so much that it was like, it was hard to decide. Like, I was like, it's just too much work to cut like here and here and here. So I'm just cutting the whole piece.
But what's interesting is I don't confirm there that I'm not drinking again.
Right. I know.
Even though here's the truth for everybody. I definitely decided in that hospital I was not drinking again.
I mean, it really tugged at my heartstrings when you said, I just want to have a beer at a baseball game. I was like,
yeah,
I know, Andy. I was like, I know. And now you're like, I don't care about beer and I don't care about baseball. 10 years. What a difference the world how much the world can change in 10 years.
Okay, I'm going to make a confession. I can do this now since we no longer have a partnership with Miller Lite. I occasionally now drink non-alcoholic beers.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't know if you know this has become a thing. The non-alcoholic beer trend is at its highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because they make them taste good. Like they taste good now. So, and I'm not talking the
O'Doul's. You're not drinking shit. O'Doul's. You're drinking like Athletic or whatever.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. I got some Athletic beers sitting in my fridge right now. I think they, and then I tried the Heineken Zero.
Andy thinks because he joined the Athletic and drinks Athletic, I'm going to pay for his takes.
I think the Athletic, that's definitely my favorite. I think.
Well, I got a buddy who's pretty heavily invested in the Athletic. So keep drinking.
Well, you know what really got me into them? We all know how much I like to read my Wall Street Journal, and they did a huge article on them. And I believe they're the top selling non-alcoholic brand in the United States.
Now, Andy, I don't know if you've seen this, and there's at least one or two comics I know who promote it. There's some non-alcoholic beer with weed in them. The best of both worlds for you, sir.
Mm. No, I have some of those non-alcoholic THC drinks. It sounds like that's basically that in beer version.
Yeah. So giving you that beer thing with the, you know, it's funny. You talk about how the non-alcoholic beer thing has grown. I just remember like being a kid and like my parents would have like barbecues and stuff like that. And then we'd have like, you know, they always like threw like a 6 or 12 pack of like O'Doul's in there for like whoever's not. And I was like, even as a kid, I was like, but if you're not drinking, what the fuck would you want a beer for? Like,
yeah.
Have an orange juice or something like that, you know, as a kid. But now that I know, it's like you know, you get just a hankering for that vibe and that taste.
Well, that was always my thing too. Again, I started reading a couple articles. I first tried the Heineken Zero, and then I bought a 6-pack of the Athletic, and I was like, wait, like I had one a couple days ago. I was like, you know what, I'm doing some late night work. Either that or kombucha is my version of a beer. And there was a part of me who thought, if I start drinking these, am I going to actually want a beer? And no. I've crossed that threshold, especially after listening to the denting. You know, I'm coming up on 10 years without alcohol. So when you cross that threshold, you're like, what's going to make me want to get a beer? And the truth is, cannabis has been a great equalizer. I did get, and I'll send you a screenshot of it. I don't know how this was legal. The dispensary, which was next to Dave Chappelle's clothing store in Yellow Springs, also sold THC microdose mushrooms.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I asked the store owner, how do you get away with this? She goes, well, there's no psilocybin. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
But she goes, dude, these are going to make you're not going to fool like trip, but you're going to get those effects. And it's also infused with THC.
So her answer, in not so many words, is these are bullshit.
Well, no, I think that you're going to basically, well, I'm going to obviously test them out.
Sure. Take them for a test drive. Why not? Look at Ruther over there. Ruther's just like some future man where he's like, just here with my non-alcoholic beer and my mushrooms that don't make you trip.
Well, there's just weird rule. There's weird, but I bought actual flour, and I also bought pre-rolled joints. And I was like, but how are you doing this? Because not this, it's legal now, but it's not all set up. That's not till probably the fall. She's like, well, this and this, if it wasn't, they have the loopholes around the government to open these type of places already.
Right.
Which, by the way, loopholes is a great segue of something that I can't stop reading about, is the Ohtani gate and the Bet gate. That'll keep me interested in baseball.
We need a better name than Ohtani gate and Bet gate.
I agree. You know who I DM'd about it?
Who's that?
Maybe what? Take a guess. We're going to have to probably bring him on.
Goldberg?
Yoshi.
Oh, Yoshi. What was what's Yoshi's take? I need Yoshi's take.
So I DM'd him. Well, first of all, I tried to text him a couple times and none of them went through. So I DM'd him and I was like, dude, is this your same number? Because I saw he was in Austin. I saw he was performing on a show, I think at Rogan's Comedy Club with Dave Attell. Anyway, I texted it. I DM'd him and he's like, no, that's my number. And I said, he's like, what's up? I said, I got to hear your take on Ohtani. And he said, are you free in a couple of days? I'm going to call you. And I said, yeah, but I'm going to ask him, like, Yoshi, if you have a decent take, why don't you come on? Yeah. I know the dirtballs always love Yoshi.
Yeah. Oh, that's how we get those free subscribers to convert to paid subscribers. Those guys that are on the fence.
Yeah. By the way, this episode, again, if you are a free subscriber on Substack, I posted the link. This is all free on Substack for any subscriber. I posted the YouTube link. So the notion that everything's going to be behind a paywall, again, not true. If you are a free subscriber on Substack, you can watch this on YouTube because it's unlisted. Just see in the chat section.
For now, I'm on Andy. I'm like, what are we doing here?
And Joe's like, put that shit behind a paywall. Yeah. So just sign up for free. And then, we might dangle a little Yoshi carrot right in front of your face. Paid wall. Hear Yoshi's take on Ohtani or wherever Yoshi is visiting. You know, he might be going to the theater in Moscow that just had that horrible tragedy. You know, Yoshi's all over the place. Who knows? But this is going to be a real interesting
thing. Did he give you any...
Nothing.
Anything? No.
He just said, I'll call you in the next couple of days.
He's currently interviewing to be Ohtani's next translator so that he can be really deep in the mix.
What do you think is gonna happen though, for real, man?
Oh, I think what's gonna happen is exactly what has happened in the past when it comes to anything handled by Bud Selig or Rob Manfred or whatever. I think that this is going to be, I think what's happened already is a sign of what's to come. The initial reports were he was involved one way or the other. And now almost immediately it was, hey, that's not what we're saying. We're saying this sweep, 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 sweep under the rug. He's being stolen from, blah, blah, blah. I think Rob Manfred knows he's got the premier star in Major League Baseball involved in this right now. And this, the game of baseball struggling so much, really the only thing that Major League Baseball has going for it, similar to the NBA, is it's not just an American game. You know, I know there's all the people out there who point to the fucking, you know, the Nielsen ratings. Random people with a fucking thing clipped onto their UHF TVs in the Midwest, then they point to that as like ratings. But like, the NBA is a global game. Baseball, far more of a global game than football, college basketball, whatever. That, you know, and Japan probably being the second biggest market behind the United States, if not the biggest market for baseball in general, not just Major League Baseball. But, you know, when you think about that, Japanese baseball fans watch American baseball and Japanese baseball. So you have the literally the world's biggest baseball star in this. They're going to protect that at all costs. So it's just going to continue to be swept under the rug. Unless somebody really does, you know, unless some journalist just goes so deep and just gets all the info and just like exposes.
But who's doing that? Because right. Every single network is tied into gambling and gaming.
Correct. Exactly. You know, the kind of place you'd find that a journalist that's doing that?
Substack.
Yeah, where they're paying their own way.
No, but you're right.
Yeah.
Nobody from ESPN's doing that. Not when they have their own app. I mean, we've entered some wild times now with this gambling. It's just story after story after story. Now you have the NBA with another gambling issue, right? Jonte Porter is being investigated by the NBA after irregularities on prop betting.
There's just no way that it can be avoided. There's too many, especially in games, especially in sports. If you look across all of the sports, all of them now. In football, you look at every team. I mean, we've talked about the changing economy of your typical NFL football team. Paying your quarterback, paying your receiver, paying a left tackle, paying an edge rusher. It falls off pretty, I mean, we're not talking about 10 guys on the team who are set for life. We're talking about half a dozen. There's the when the gambling is being shoved in your face and you're a guy who at this point, I mean, we've done it just like every other sports outlet has done it. We'll just be like, running backs don't matter. Meanwhile, running backs are like, I take the most hits. And I'm going to walk out of here after taxes with like 3 years at $600,000 and CTE. Again, I'm doing a fucking Sopranos rewatch, but every running back is just Carmella stealing from the bird feeder. Like they're like, how? I'm worried about my future. Like the idea that in all of these sports, the seventh guy, eighth guy, ninth guy in the rotation on an NBA team. He's like, I'm here today. I could be gone tomorrow. Like so many opportunities for them to just get money because it's so easy. I mean, if you were an NBA, an MLB, an NFL, an NHL player, like you can just use a burner email account. Use a VPN, basically the same way I'm telling you to get fucking Reds games. I mean, you're a three-step process a bit away from being like a no link to you FanDuel account.
You think it's that easy?
It would be even easier just to say, hey, let me just sign into yours, my cousin, my brother, my best friend, whatever.
Here's the thing. If there's no paper trail, you avoid text, you avoid emails. If it's now, who knows if you're being, you know, obviously the government's watching us and recording us. I don't know if they can go to that, the phone records of the NSA.
They're not doing it to find out if the ninth man off the fucking bench in the NBA is making money on his prop bets.
Yeah. This is only going to get worse, though. You know,
100%.
I feel like we're just scraping the beginning of this, you know? Right. Like this is the beginning. And the these players talking about, they feel like prop bets.
And you know, do you remember the report that came out in the NFL when they like changed their status, and now it was like, oh, it's an entertainment company. That means they can fix games and blah 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 blah. I always said that that thing that you guys are jumping on, it's not a matter of the NFL wants to fix games. What the NFL wants is legal protection from when it gets found out that a game was manipulated by players or by referees or by coaches or by whatever. And then some guy with a bug up his ass who's a Cincinnati Bengals fan who has nothing else to do is like, I have spent $700,000 over the last 20 years of season tickets, of beer, of parking, of whatever. Take my four tickets. And the whole thing was, I'm suing you because you lied that I was paying for a sport. And now it turns out that the whole thing's a sham. What they're doing is they're legally protecting themselves from that lawsuit, not so that they can rig games. But that is 100% because they know it's going to happen.
Sure.
In our lifetime, we are going to have, I mean, it's crazy for me to even say it because what are we talking about? It's happening. The best player in baseball is embroiled. The guy who just this offseason signed the richest contract in American sports history is embroiled in a major gambling scandal. Pete Rose was player managing 4,000 hits, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It happened to Mickey Mantle.
No, this is it happening to LeBron James at his height. Yeah. Michael Jordan at his height.
Yeah. Which it did happen to Michael Jordan at his height. The NBA was just really great at sweeping it under the rug.
I was just about to catch myself.
Also swept under the rug during that was his father's body. But we're not going there. Not today.
I also sent you this tweet, which obviously we all know this, but when you look at it, I don't know why. Sometimes when you just look at things, it really puts it in perspective about Shohei Ohtani. So this is what he's done the last few months. He's deferred $680 million of his contract. He randomly announces marriage after never speaking about his wife for his entire career. He alleges he has no idea a man he spent every day with was gambling away millions of his dollars. And then it just says, this man is sketch. Like, there's a lot of, and that's what I want to ask Yoshi.
You suspect.
Yeah, you sus. There's a lot of suspect things going on here with Ohtani. Pete Rose must be loving this. Just loving this.
I mean, he's already done the video, right? Should have bet through a translator.
Yeah. You know what I found? I got this old.
Pete Rose, by the way, Pete Rose needs his own merch. He's always sitting in a casino in like a white fucking Reds hat. This dude just stay like. First of all, you played on fucking how many teams? I know, obviously, you're a Reds, great, but like, can we get Pete Rose just some like Rose merch?
He was repping Pony for a while. He had a deal with Pony. Dude, he's 82. I mean, the majority of that is the career was the Reds, though. But it's all crazy, man. It's all nuts. But here's the thing. It goes back to people not caring about baseball. It's like, this would be a different story if it's Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Obviously.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, the top baseball player who we don't even care about might have been involved in gambling.
It was a bigger story when the biggest player in the NFL's brother was just, like, sexually assaulting people. than it is that the biggest player in baseball is himself embroiled in a major gambling scandal, multi-million dollar international gambling scandal.
And look, this is the type of scandal where there is so much at stake for not only Major League Baseball, gambling companies, sports betting. You know what I'm saying? Like this is where people work together to make sure this is cleaned up. Because this would be terrible. But I'd argue the politicians too, they don't care, right? So everybody was against gambling. And then, like anything, the governments realized, hey, we can get our beaks wet a little on this.
Of course.
Cool.
Of course. Andy, that's always the thing, right? That's always the fucking thing.
What do you say to this? I see a comment on YouTube from Justin. Get rid of legal sports gambling and make sports even worse. I disagree,
well, it'll never
personally.
Happen. Yeah. Cat's out of the bag. It'll never happen. As somebody who has gambled, you know, I feel about sports gambling the same way I feel about weed. It was better when it wasn't legal. Is the truth, because the government just fucks it all up.
What do you mean better?
It was better. Now, I might not have had access to all the fucking apps and all the things. First of all, I still don't in California, right?
But how was weed, now we have all these different things. We were just talking about it, where you could get THC in.
Yeah, but remember when we could do that? And remember when it was just medical? And you could go in and they had giant jars and you stuck your nose in. And you're like, I'll take a quarter ounce. I'll take an ounce. I'll take that whole fucking jar. And they were like, all right, today you get a free eighth of this if you buy that. We're doing a pre-roll giveaway. If you do blah blah blah, we're doing this. This brownie has a 1,000 milligrams in it. So split it with 10 friends. Now it's every single thing has a barcode. Everything single thing is 10 milligrams or less in each bite. Your weed comes pre-packaged. How do I know that's the weed that you're saying? I can't smell it. I can't touch it. I can't whatever. It's bureaucracy. And the same thing with gambling. Sure. The same way now that there's 20 different gummies when you go in and it's like, this is blueberry and this is pineapple and this is in the shape of a bear and this is the shape of whatever. That's just all different. This is this much THC to that much CBD. And that's all great. It's all well and good. But what I lost in the price goes up. The size of the, like, I don't really care that I could go in and they were like, we just have this and this is what you get. There was a time when the same thing was happening, you know, with online gambling, where it's like, yeah, you didn't have every single little baby prop, but it wasn't also, you're tied to this. It's okay in this state. It's not okay in this state. We're going to, and now we have tax forms involved. And now we have this, like, you know, shout out to the Dirt Ball who hooked me up with, like, because I'm in California, I used to bet on Bovada. That was another thing. It was like, oh, you gotta deposit on Bitcoin. And then we pay on Bitcoin. You're paying Bitcoin trans fees, like whatever. Like there was a time where I could just text somebody my bets and then pay them on PayPal or Venmo or in cash the weekend after or the Monday after. So shout out to the Dirtball, hooked me up with a guy like that does it that way again. But it's, you know, now if there was protections for that where you weren't like working on the black market, that's why the best era of legalized marijuana was the era between it being illegal and it being fully legal. The medical marijuana era was the great, that was the great Wild West. That was the best era.
I remember it.
It was the best era there ever was. I used to do the social media for a weed store, a medical marijuana store. They would sell caviar joints. So they took, and they also sold hash blunts. They took hash. They rolled it out so thin that they used the hash as the blunt paper, and they rolled up weed that they had dunked in hash oil and then rolled in keef. You can't do that now. No, like 10, it's only 10 milligrams. These prepackaged joints have been sealed in plastic for 8 months. We had a girl who worked in the back. Her only job was rolling blunts. She was just in the back.
Well, I know what you're saying, but from a safety perspective, it's probably safer now. I'm not one who loves regulation. I'm just looking at that side of it.
Everything now has a lobby, right?
For sure. No, I agree. I hate the bureaucracy. That's why it's the same way, you know, they'll never fix homelessness in a lot of these big cities because nobody wants to lose their $200,000 job. If you're the guy in charge of that, the woman in charge of that, it's the same way. I get it. But when it comes to this gambling stuff in sports, something's going to have to give at some point.
No, it's not. This is what's happening. The same thing I said about the NFL. They're just going to change it. It is here to stay. This is going to be an every 3 week story.
I agree it's here to stay, but my point is I referenced the tobacco, you know, everything that happened with big tobacco when we were mid to late 90s. And, you know, they outlawed, I forget when they outlawed, it was way before that, but outlawed cigarette ads on TV. I could see them maybe going that route with gambling. Guys, you can't see Kevin Hart promoting FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever, every other commercial. I mean, think about it. You talked about this. Try to watch a sports game. It doesn't matter the sport. You could almost count. I mean, that'd almost be a fun thing to do. Watch a baseball game and count. Watch a football game, count.
Watch an NBA game. Dude, I remember. We, you know, it's funny because I talked in the pre-roll to the denting episode, just how much things have changed in the last 10 years. I remember being on this show and having to explain money lines, not just to you, but to listeners who were like, what is the money line? They show you live money lines during games.
You can bet during NBA games on the NBA League Pass.
They're telling you the live money line during the game.
It's just come so fast, right? Like, I just feel, especially this football season, they started doing the ads last year. I mean, this year, it's just... There is something to be said. I want to say this. And obviously, I'm not a big gambler. So I might have that, you know, I come in from that perspective. But at some point, you just want to watch the damn game, don't you?
Like, I wish there was, you talk about a paywall. You talk about paying, for, you know, the difference of quality when you pay for something versus like, I don't pay for basically anything, right? We all know I've got my, but you give me the opportunity to pay $8 a month so that I can watch my sports commercial free. I'm doing it today. All of it gone. No on-screen ads. Just give me the ads that are on the court, on the thing, whatever. It doesn't go to commercial. I used to watch, when I used to watch NBA TV, there was a time where they hadn't figured out the streaming yet. So the streaming broadcast never cut away to streaming ads. And you just got natural sound of the timeouts, natural sound of the arena. You got the arena feed of some guy on a fucking tricycle juggling. You got all that shit. It's like, I'll pay $8 a month right now to have you never show me an on-screen ad during the broadcast and never cut away to commercial. Put that behind a Substack paywall. I am a founding member.
Can we talk about Draymond Green for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
It's just embarrassing at this point. He is so selfish. That's the word you have to use when you describe him. He's selfish. He doesn't care about his team.
He's selfish. He's also just, I want to say remarkably immature, but the truth is, and I say this with the utmost like lack of like non-judgment, he's mentally ill. Like he's mentally ill. Like I'm assuming he's not on fucking Prozac or whatever, because it'd probably make him like, I can't imagine there's a lot of NBA players that put things in their body that they don't need that might affect them physically, but he's clearly mentally ill. Severely.
Yeah, so I'm playing the clip from the game last night in Orlando. We're not even 4 minutes into the game. He gets teed up right there. The foul wasn't even called on him. Right? The foul's called on Andrew Wiggins.
Right.
He gets teed up.
He's upset because he got bodied.
Look, he doesn't shut up. Steph's like, okay, man. You can just look at Steph's face. He's over it. Steph just touched him. Hey, dude, get away. Get away. He's still barking at the ref. Still. Steph's annoyed at this point. Still barking. I mean, this is mental illness. He gets teed up, tossed out. You know, they're basically in playoff mode right now, the Warriors, to just make the playoffs. You can't even last. You get two technicals within the first 4 minutes. And then this, did you see the Steph reaction?
Yeah.
This is why Steph actually cries. Look at him. Did you see he's actually crying?
Yeah.
This is a broken man right here. This is 10 years. I don't know how many years Draymond and him have been playing together. Damn near 10 years, if it's not. He's just over it. Draymond put Steph into tears.
And listen, dude, Steve Kerr is a good coach, but this has always been a hole in his coaching legacy. Steph Curry is a great player and a great leader. This has always been a hole in his legacy. You got a guy who's scoring fucking, what does he score a game? 5 points a game? What's he rebound? Fucking 7 rebounds a game? Like, this is not Dennis Rodman going out and being like, the day I grab 40 rebounds,
I know,
I'm going to take my shirt off and I'm going to walk off this court. I'm never going to play again.
8.6 points a game, 7.2 rebounds, 5.9 assists for the year.
Woo! Dude, if Josh Hart was doing this for the Knicks, I'd be like, just get him off the fucking team, dude.
Yeah.
I love Josh Hart. And I would say he is the backbone of the Knicks. But what are we talking about? And honestly, dude, you're 10 years into this with Steve Kerr.
This is his 12th year in the league.
You're 10 years into this with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr. You just can't control, just like one guy, can't control him.
Well, there's clearly zero repercussions. Guys, he was, how many games was he suspended for? It didn't do anything. He's a child. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of when my daughter will disobey me. And it's a little different, right? She's 13 months, but all the kids do this, I was told, at daycare. They take their water cup and they like to throw it on the ground. And you pick it up and you say no, or you say wrong, or whatever, you know. You're trying to communicate with the kid who's just learning language. And you say that and they keep doing it. And it can get frustrating. And I'm trying to learn, how the hell do you parent that? How do you try to teach a kid who doesn't really know the language yet? But that's what Draymond is.
Well,
he's a baby.
It's crazy to me, but I mean, obviously there comes a point where you just go, well, you don't get it anymore. Right?
Yeah, bye. Bye.
Yeah. And what's crazy is there's the suspension, and then there's this, and there's that. But you know what there never is? There's never a one technical in the first 4 minutes of the game. And then Steve Kerr just puts him on the bench. And what's amazing is, you know, the Steve Kerr legacy. Oh, I wasn't taking it from Michael Jordan. He punched me in the face and blah, blah, blah. We got into it. You're the coach of the team, dude.
True.
And I'll throw another shot at Steph Curry. You need him this bad?
Well, I was just going to bring that up.
You need him this bad. And honestly, I think the answer, Steph, is like, yeah, I do. I need him this fucking bad.
I was going to pose this question. They've won, what, 4 titles?
Yep.
Steph has, Kerr has. If they don't have Draymond Green and plug in X role player, plug in any.
Yeah.
Do they have less titles? I think that's a great discussion. Now, he was Defensive Player of the Year. He had some good years playing that role.
Certainly, probably in they maybe don't have the first. They obviously still have the KD ones. They didn't need Draymond. They didn't even need to replace Draymond. And they still win those. Yeah, they probably don't win against Boston. They probably have 2. They probably have their KD titles.
So you think it does affect it?
Yes, but at the same point, who is that X player that you're plugging in?
I don't know. It's a good question. Because you and I have played the game of putting Draymond on some other team in his career.
He doesn't do shit.
That's exactly, we agree.
But this is my point. This is why I'm saying it's sort of a shot at Steph. It's like that shouldn't be the way it is. My answer that they have less, it shouldn't be the way it is, but it is the way, which is why Steph is crying about it instead of saying, get him the fuck off my team. Because Steph thinks he needs him. And he's crying that he doesn't have him now because he doesn't know what else to do. How about everybody talks about the GM? Trade his fucking ass. If I'm Steph, I'm like, what are we doing here? But Steph needs him. Steph thinks he needs him. And obviously Kerr thinks they think they need him. They don't think you can just go get Josh Hart. Meanwhile, Josh Hart would do all those things for less money and not get technicals?
Again, you're selfish. Everything is about you, Draymond. It's not about the team. It's about you. You're selfish. There's no other way around it. You're just a selfish athlete, selfish teammate. You don't care about
winning. We didn't talk about it on a podcast. He's fucking mentally ill.
I never got the Draymond stuff. And the thought of him transitioning into television and TNT. Guys, he's not interesting. Like, that's just my take. Like you're not. Dennis Rodman was fucking interesting, man.
Yeah, but also wild. Dennis Rodman's not doing TV.
I agree. Nor should he. But my point was, you look at Bad Boys throughout basketball, a lot of these guys, in my opinion, were way more interesting.
You know the joke about Skip Bayless, right? Skip Bayless scored 0.2 points a game or whatever in high school.
Yeah.
Here's why Draymond's not interesting. Draymond's stats across the board are closer to Skip Bayless's than they are to LeBron James. Like, you're 25 points a game from being Luka or KD or LeBron. You're 6 points a game from being fucking Skip Bayless.
It's just crazy to me that they think they need him. It's like their psychological.
To me, it's like, you know, I don't want to get into the whole fucking thing, but like of the ranking of the players and all the shit. But like when people talk about like Steph Curry is one great, like he's telling you he's not. He's telling you he can't win without this dude 7 rebounds a game and him playing some fucking defense.
That's insane, though, that he's tricked himself into that. Especially at this point in his career. He's been in the league 12 years, man. Just kick him to the can. Get rid of him. Well, you don't need him. Come on. And you're right. Kerr has no control. He has no control over him. There was no suspension. Hey, that's finally the low. He's reached the low. He's going to write low. The shit.
The low. He sucker punched his own teammate in the face last year. They got rid of the other guy. Sucker punched his own teammate in the face. They got rid of the guy who got sucker punched.
It's wild. Be more like Shane Battier, Draymond. Like, be that type of role player. The quiet guy.
What, you know it's wild? You know it's absolutely fucking wild? Be more like Ron Artest.
Yeah, even he started to calm down when he played for the Lakers. It's true. I never thought about that. And he would actually hit some clutch shots from time to time.
Yeah.
Not really anything you can say about Draymond doing. Be more like Ron Artest. Be like the guy who changed his name to Meta World Peace. The same guy who punched a fan in a game. Yeah, be like him. Does he play on the team next year? Is Draymond on the Warriors next year?
Probably. They need him.
It's insane to me. It's absolutely insane.
And listen, we can. I'm a Steph Curry fan. Always have been. Now, I can be a fan of Steph Curry and talk about where but like a team with Jason Tatum right now doesn't need him. A team with LeBron James right now doesn't need him. A team with Joel Embiid right now, Giannis, Jokic, doesn't need him. Take that for what it is. Now, you might be out there saying they don't need him either. They don't need him. You could be a fan of the Warriors and say, we don't need him. Okay, Steph disagrees. And Kerr disagrees. If they didn't disagree, he'd be fucking gone.
Yeah. It's crazy. Look at this, Joe. Our 9 minutes of the show. We didn't talk football.
Here we go. It's like you're pivoting into football.
I can talk other things.
No, we're good.
No, I'm saying we're going to go to football. I'm saying I can talk other things. I can talk other things. Not too much to say. Just some new rule changes with the hip drop tackle, which I think the famous one this year was Logan Wilson on the Bengals doing that on a Thursday night game to Mark Andrews, which put him out until the Super Bowl. So the hip drop tackle, which I think is something that they traditionally do in rugby, will now be a 15-yard penalty and automatic first down And we'll, and it's just another subjective thing.
Exactly. It's
like, what are we doing here?
Exactly.
Like, come on. We got a call about it. It's just another thing, man. It's another subjective thing. 310-359-8365. That's our hotline.
Hey, boys. Brian Heinrich calling in. Proud card-carrying member of the Substack community. And I wanted to talk about the most recent, like, NFL rule change that's been, like, controversial. Like, there's so much, like, back and forth on that hip drop tackle and is it okay, is it not, blah, blah, blah. Like, my thing is, like, I don't give a shit if it's more likely to cause injury just for the simple reason that the offense just has too much going for it. And, like, I don't want guys to get hurt, and I'm not saying that I don't care if they do, but, like, fuck, man, any tackle can end your season. Like, and honestly, like, I don't give a shit if the move is cheap, because at some point you got to let the – you got to throw the defense a bone and let them play. You got to give them something because the offense has everything. That's why I'm also, like, for the tush push just being thrown out. Like, I don't give a single fuck that's unfair or they're trying to single out the Eagles or whatever. I don't care. There's nothing fun about watching a tush push touchdown. Like, nothing is cool about that. Fuck that. But my question is, was the main reason that they changed this rule – is solely so the NFL can just get more money out of finding players? Like, is that the only reason? Like, we all know the NFL doesn't give a shit about player safety. Like, are they just finding ways to get more money thrown back their way? Or is it like 20%, oh, this will be good PR, it'll make us look like we care, and 80%, you know, we can get the free money? Or is it solely like we're only doing this to get money? But my question, guys, good luck to you guys on Substack. Stay dirty. Condoms are for pussies.
What do you think?
Well, I'll talk about his call and then we'll go into more about the hip drop tackle thing. I don't think it's about more money because that shit, that's not real money to them.
Yeah, it's not
$50,000 here, $15,000 there, $25,000. That's not it. I think what it is twofold. One, they're building in a way to protect their stars. There's money in that. If you lose the quarterback, the running back, the receiver, the offensive players have far more spotlights on them than the defensive players. So there's some protecting stars, even though we know it's going to be impossible to enforce. How many. Running backs putting their head down, initiating contacts, you see a season. There'll be more of the hip drop because, again, it's pro offense instead of anti offense, but it's going to be impossible to fucking enforce. And then the other fact of the matter is it's all of this shit, the kickoff thing, the hip drop tackle, the initiating contact, the defenseless player, it's all a smokescreen. It's all a smokescreen for the things that actually cause CTE, the real player safety issue, and the adding of games every season. It has been proven that the CTE issue is the repeated doing something. So you're adding live snaps to the season. You're taking away the snaps from preseason. You're putting the fucking, you're putting the fake fucking helmet on them in the preseason. You're putting on the soft helmet on top of their helmet. You're doing all this shit. It's all a smokescreen of we care about player safety, but we're just going to keep adding games. You're lying. You don't care about player safety. Nothing could be proven false easier than saying if you cared about player safety, you would never add games.
Yeah.
So it's all a gigantic player safety bullshit smokescreen because the CTE issue became a big thing years ago and because they just want to keep adding football games. It's going to be horrible to enforce. Also, I just don't even understand, like, I played football. how do you tackle a guy from behind now? Like, I just don't, I honestly don't know the answer. Like, you can't horse collar. You can't hip drop. So if you're chasing somebody down from behind and they're running and you're running with them, either they stop and you tackle them, they cut and you tackle them, or you have to let them get a little bit more space so you can do the dive at the ankles trip move. How does one tackle from behind without this style of tackle or horse collaring? Or, like, I literally don't know. And then, you know, he brought up the tush push again. You care about player safety? How about the one where they're like hitting the quarterback? Now, the reason they don't care about the player safety, and I'll this, you know, this can just be a Joe Prano conspiracy, is like none of the teams with stars that they give a fuck about are doing it. Because none of those teams would fucking do that. The Chiefs aren't going to slam Patrick Mahomes five extra times in the fucking game. That's why Josh Allen does the, like, snap, step left, jump thing. Like, no one's just bashing their quarterbacks from behind that they fucking care about.
Yeah, this is going to be so hard to enforce. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
And what's going to be annoying is it's not going to be hard to enforce, but they're going to pick and choose when they enforce it. You can't make that call in that moment. And then it becomes, oh, you make the call when it's Patrick Mahomes, but you don't make the call when it's fucking Jalen Hurts, or you make the call when it's Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, but you don't make the call when it's fucking Justin Fields or whatever. And then you start getting into this, oh, here we go. Nothing's better than rules that, like, don't really exist. And we can just pick and choose when to enforce them.
Yeah, I know. The kickoff one is kind of interesting. Which, again, is pro offense. Because the kickoff rate, I believe, was the lowest it had ever been. So,
in terms of returnable.
Correct.
Yeah. So player safety, that's better for player safety, right? If we're not returning any kicks whatsoever.
Yeah. So this one, God, this one's complex. I have a couple of videos to show you from the XFL, which kind of is an easier way to understand it. I think those rules are pretty similar. So the NFL rules, which, again, they kind of stole mostly from the XFL. The ball has to be returned if it's kicked into the landing zone. So there's a landing zone.
Awesome.
From the 20-yard to the goal line. If the ball is kicked short of the landing zone or out of bounds, it will be placed on the 40. The ball can still be returned if it rolls to the end zone or kicked to the end of the zone through the air. If the ball is kicked into the landing zone, again, that's the goal line to the 20-yard line, and gets down by the kickoff team, it'll be placed at the 20. God, this is so confusing. If the ball is kicked through the air to the end zone and gets down, it will be placed at the 30. So the ball could be at the 20, 30, or 40. Now, here's a couple of videos that I pulled from the XFL. So guys they don't want everybody with a running head start.
Right.
So here it is. So he just gets the ball. Let me start it over. All right. So you see,
there's a 5-yard window between them, or so you can't get a huge running start.
So the offense,
the guys aren't going back to, like, get in front of the guy with the ball.
So the team's receiving, all the guys are in the 30, all the defenders are in the 35. Guy gets he catches it. So it's more or less like you're lining up on a normal play.
Right.
And then you see how it plays out here. And this was a kickoff return for a touchdown. Here's the difference. Once you make it past that first wave, nobody's catching you.
Right.
Whereas, like, the other way, somebody could catch you. And then here's one where they did a reverse. This is actually kind of cool play. Watch this. So it's the same thing. They're lined up 5 yards apart. He runs up. They do a reverse on the kickoff. This one's kind of cool. And then he returns it for a touchdown. Here's the only problem. We're not going to know any of these rules this year. It's going to be very confusing on the kickoff. I mean, the fact that the NFL had to release their own 2 minute plus video explaining the rules.
Yeah.
Like, you need a 2 minute video. To
also, everybody who gets to the NFL has played organized football for probably on average of 10 years, and none of them know how punts work, and punt rules haven't changed in my entire lifetime.
Well, it's like
we're going to have a Super Bowl next year, yeah. where after the game, it's won on a thing, and Kyle Shanahan's teams are like, we never actually learned the kickoff rules this year. We didn't do a thing. And the Chiefs are going to be like, oh, Andy Reid had a barbecue called the kickoff barbecue, where we each dressed up as hamburgers and the return team were buns. And he made us go through how to put your burger inside of your bun so that we understood the rules.
Yeah. And nobody's going to get it when they're at the stadium too, which will be funny. All the drunk NFL fans.
But just like, imagine, like my favorite thing about it is like being a Giants fan, you know, you go, they play Hell's Bells. Like as the teams line up for kickoffs, like we're about to fucking see a goddamn gladiator show. It's like, no, you're not. You're about to see guys fucking. And then 5 yard fucking.
You just start playing ballet instead.
Yeah. Listen, and I'm all for like player safety, but the truth is I wouldn't fuck with kickoffs. I wouldn't fuck with whatever. I would again to do the commissioner of sport thing, I would not pretend CTE wasn't real. I would have a VA like hospital in Canton, Ohio to take care of players after they get CTE. I would have
two bye weeks if you're going to do.
I would have two bye weeks if we were going to have 17. I would have never gone to more than 16 games.
Well, Joe, there's more news in that regard. The NFL's like, well, you think you need more? I think you do. We're going to play on Christmas again this year, even though it's on a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
That's right. The NFL is going to play a Christmas, maybe a couple Christmas Day games, even though it's on a Wednesday.
Andy, I know you're a big NFL guy, and I know during the NFL season, you could shit on the NFL all you want. During the NFL season, nothing jumps you in importance. To me, if I was Adam Silver, this is fucking war. This was our day. You're gonna play games on Wednesday? Fine. Let's fucking go. I send a PI out.
And Adam Silver and them are going to lose that war.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I, you know, it's one of those things where it used to be that these sports would consider, they would take days off. They wouldn't play a game on this game because this day's for the NFL. This day's for the NBA. This day's for Major League Baseball. This day's for whatever. And now the NFL goes, we don't give a shit. Dude, I would have a team of private eyes following Patrick Mahomes' whole family around. Next time Jackson Mahomes touches a woman at a Jamba Juice, I got it on film. Next time Patrick Mahomes Sr. has an alcoholic beverage and gets behind the car, I got it on film. I'd have fucking...
Yeah, that'll help the league. They love the press.
Yeah.
That won't even hurt the league. They'll be like, oh, cool. Now we can talk about these stories while you watch the Chiefs play on Christmas Day. Guys, here's my thing. I love football. I love football. We know that. We can spend the day with our families, like just one time. Just one time a year, you need to spend some time with your loved ones. Just like one time a year, you cannot watch the game. This is coming from me, Mr. Football. Like one time a year. Anything to avoid the fam. On a Wednesday. It is pretty wild. They were like, yeah, we're going to keep doing this. Oh, you just played on Sunday? Cool. You're playing again on Wednesday. Let's get to some calls.
Let's do it.
Hotline is 310-359-8365. Give us a ring. Let us know what you think. Here's a scenario question for you, Prano. I think he said you. I'm a little confused on this.
Hey, what's up, Dirty Sports? It's KT. Your number one terrible take of the Eagles, Texas, Philly dirt ball coming at you. So, yeah, wanted to first give you guys a shout-out for hooking it up with, you know, the denting episode. I've been looking for that for, like, 5 years now. So that was fucking hype that you guys actually went through with that. But wanted to follow up on the Jokic, you know, comparison on a women's basketball team. Because, fellas, I actually think about stuff like that quite a bit. You know, I talk to my friends about it and whatnot. So, Prano, I think this one would be for you since you coach baseball and all that. So, in your present state as a 40-year-old, I'm like about 30. I'm 30 here. Present state, you would just go fucking hit some dingers with some little.
Is he talking about you? Did he say given your present state?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure before if he said Andy, your present state. I was like, what? Okay.
But let's say we put you on a random 12-year-old team. Okay. Could you win the Little League World Series with that team? You could play any position. It's just going to be a random team. Obviously, there's 8 other players, so they could just, you know, pitch around you every team. But you're hitting a dinger every single time. You're striking everyone out when you pitch. There's a pitch count of 80 pitches per game, so you got to be, you know, very specific on that. Could you go to the Little League World Series and win it as a 40-year-old getting to play with 12-year-olds? Is that possible? So I got another funny story for you guys a little bit later, but again, condoms are for not paying for Substack. Boys, it's fucking $7. I just went to Starbucks. That's the best coffee close to me where I'm at and where I'm specifically living in Texas. I know, huge L. And they're about to charge me $5, so I walked out. I walked out. Pays for Dirty Sports right there, boys. All right, stay dirty.
So my answer is no, I could not if they could pitch around me. If they had to pitch to me, it would be totally different. It's still only one player, but also I think you're not considering the defensive aspect of it. Like if they had to pitch to me, I'm hitting a dinger every time. And I know that because
are you? I don't think you are.
Oh yeah, I am for sure.
Dude, 12-year-olds can pitch, man.
No, they can't. I mean, the other thing is it's just a matter of
no way.
Andy, listen, I did this. So here's a fun fact. One year, my brother and I used to go to a baseball camp. And one year we went to this baseball camp and I had aged into the next group. I had aged it like into the 14. I'd been playing on the big field for like, it was my second season. And they were like, we don't have enough kids. This year to like have it. So like you could come up, but like the games are just going to be on the Lily field. And I was like, I don't like, all right, fine. Fuck it. Like I was like, I'll still get like work in or whatever. I mean, I hit a home run every single time, I was 2 years removed. I was like 14. They were 12. It's just like hitting fly balls and they would just go out. And I remember being like, mom, you have to come. I hit like 4 home runs a game. It's pretty awesome. The other thing is being on the mound. I mean, I'm 6'4", like the reach, like, yeah. So I think the innings limit thing would be the pitch limit thing would be a factor, but also again, I'm 6'4". Like I'm just going to be, it would be like Kelly Leak in Bad News Bears. Like me in center field would just be me being like the left fielder and the right fielder. You guys can go play on the infield. Like I'll just cover the outfield. So, yeah, it would be close. I mean, it's still one guy can only do so much. But if they had to pitch to me and I got to pitch and play center field, yeah, I think I could. I think we could win the Little League World Series.
No way. I'm going to take the same stance I took on the Jokic. No way.
Dude, I was in my late 30s. And my I'll pull my former assistant coach onto the show if necessary. I wasn't even throwing that hard. I wasn't throwing as hard as they as kids they would face. But I would dominate my own high school team pitching live from the mound just because like I knew how to pitch.
Yeah, that was a few years ago, man.
That was from a full fucking mound. It wasn't from 40 feet, dude. 40 feet.
I'm just saying.
I'm essentially Randy Johnson from
There's nine people on the field. Acting like you're going to cover the entire outfield. Get out of here. Get out of here.
We can at least move one full of those guys in. I'll be like, I'll play center and left.
By the way, these 12-year-olds would strike me out every time, personally. As a guy who like doesn't have much baseball skills, I'd be whiffing at everything.
The thing is, like, I don't even necessarily, and this is the case when I did play on a little league field for like a week of baseball camp as a 14-year-old. I wasn't even making like, it's not like I was like line driving and everything. Like I would just hit pop-ups that would go out.
That's a weird scenario, by the way. I love that he created that scenario.
I'm still also open to fighting flyweight UFC women.
This will all be TikTok videos, guys. Like you can do these are the type of TikTok videos you see. I'm gonna do the challenge for this.
Start at Prano versus. And it's like today, it's at Prano versus kids. Today it's at Prano versus girls.
Yeah. Exactly.
Remember pros versus Joes?
Yeah, what was that again?
That was when like everyday guys would like go up against former athletes. This is gonna be Joes versus Hoes.
That'd be behind a paywall for sure.
For sure.
All right, let's get to another call.
What's up, fellas? It's your boy, Emily, calling to talk some basketball. So, including this upcoming NBA draft, this will be the fifth straight draft that the Detroit Pistons will have a lottery selection, meaning that they have been one of the worst teams in the NBA these past five seasons. They just hired Monty Williams this year as a coach, which, I mean, he's nothing special. I think he's an average coach at best. Anyway, of course, they went on that 28-game losing streak this season. But my question to y'all is, let's say you're the GM of the Pistons. What is your grace period for a coach coming in, coaching a team that's been trying to rebuild for some years now? You know, you tell them, look, we'll give you blank amount of years. We know it's going to be rough first couple of years, but we expect you to have made improvements by year blank. And if you can't make something shake by then, we'll have to respectfully move on. Love to hear what you guys have to say. Andy, I know you don't care about the NBA. Please feel free to speak on this.
Unbelievable.
Condoms are for people on Reddit complaining about having to spend $7 a month. I see why Prano doesn't get on Reddit anymore. It is a cesspool right now. Stay dirty.
Well, I told you Reddit. I feel like Reddit is like the Yelp of the internet. It's like you got to have I go on Yelp when like I go somewhere and the guy was just like the world's greatest chef. He came out and gave him for shit. I'll be like, oh, I'll go Reddit. Otherwise, I only use Yelp to say negative shit. So like that's just Reddit for me. It's like I just assume when it's a one star on Yelp, it's just some Karen who had a bad day. Like I basically can't even use. I'll have to like read Yelp reviews just to be like, was this real or is this somebody being a fucking bitch? So that's kind of Reddit for me. As far as the Detroit Pistons go,
year three make the playoffs.
Yeah, and now I missed this question in terms of what like year three make the playoffs or what?
He was just saying like at what point you need to show some growth, some improvement, yeah. Right? I'm saying year three, make the playoffs.
I mean, I think it's like, I mean, I don't think it's like that cut and dry, but I think it's pretty clear. Like when you have the first, like, here's what happens to the Pistons that like cracks me up. And also is just like, yep, that's right. And I don't know if this is, I assume there's a big crossover between Pistons fans and Lions fans or whatever, but like you come into this year, you come into last year, even it's like, oh, the Pistons are going to be sneaky. Pistons are going to be sneaky. And it's like, what, why? Based on what? My thing is, if you don't see the growth happening, like if you're not playing meaningful games, you don't have, do you have to make the playoffs this year or the third year or the fourth year or the fifth year then or else? No, but like you got to be around the mix. You, if you're like, if you have a top three pick every year, you're just not getting better. You're just not improving at all. So yeah, to me, I think it's more than just coaching too. Like you're obviously not picking the right guys. You obviously don't have the right coach. There's been teams, especially in the NBA, historically, it's like they're a place for a draft pick to go and die and move on to another team and be great. And I got to say, here's the thing with the, you know, this is kind of a segue into the story that broke this morning that the Timberwolves owner isn't going to sell to A-Rod and the other guy who whatever, like, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but the team has been a lot better in this interim period. I don't know if those guys have say in who was going to be hired and who was not, but it's like, since that happened, the Timberwolves have had a serious turnaround. So now the idea of this owner being like, oh, we're good, I'm going to keep the team now. Bro, you're the reason they were shit. Like, yeah. Get your money before you ruin it again.
Sure.
Like, I think that there's so many things. I mean, the Knicks are a great fucking example. Obviously, the executives that the Knicks have now and the coach the Knicks have now are a big point of it. It's like, we went the better part of 20 years. Phil Jackson, Isaiah Thomas, this coach, that coach, this draft pick, that draft pick. Whiffing on draft picks. If you have a good guy, you get rid of him. All these fucking things when it's just like, oh, ownership's dog shit. I think there should be a rule in the NBA. If you're in the lottery fucking 8 years in a row, you should have to sell your team. Forget fire your coach because you don't make the playoffs in 3 years. This fucking poor coach. We don't know if Jeff Hornacek was a good coach or Derek Fisher was a good coach or this guy was a good coach. It's a fucking, the franchise was a debacle. If you don't make the playoffs for the better part of a decade, you should have to fucking sell your team.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, that's, obviously, the Detroit Pistons are a great example of a team that's shown no progress whatsoever. And I think it's a different situation if they have 38 wins right now and they miss the playoffs by a couple games to say, hey, they haven't made it in 5 years. It's like, well, you're eating, you're growing, this player's getting better, that player's getting better. We have a core we're building. We don't have, now we can use this core, add some vets, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe this core had the coach they needed for their young years, but they don't have their coach that they need to put them over the top. See Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr, you know, but to have the first overall pick and then 3 years later to have 12 wins, it's a top to bottom organizational disaster.
Yeah, your wins cannot be around the same number of slices of pizza you get in a large Little Caesars.
Have the Pistons considered hiring Dan Campbell?
I'll tell you what, man.
Because here's the thing. If there's one thing I know about Pistons fans, they're not going to stop going to the games. They're not going to boycott on Christmas Day. Not that the Pistons would ever get a Christmas Day game.
Grit. Bringing grit to the basketball court. All right, guys, give us a ring. 310-359-8365. Thanks to everybody who subscribed. Thanks to everybody who's subscribed on the paid wall. Appreciate you. And I got ideas, by the way.
Ooh.
Well, we got some requests for the next one.
We got some requests for the next throwback, DS throwback.
We got ones that I'm going to be examining. Me versus Poop Sock.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long episode. I almost punched him. Goldberg was on that. Your rant was another request after Ben McAdoo benched Eli.
Yep.
To start Geno Smith. Obviously, with the Kobe Bryant shot challenge. But you know, there's big ones, and not all those are big ones, but if you guys have a random one that you're like, oh my God, this episode. Or if you know kind of the time frame, I can dig into that.
Yeah. It was hard for me to track down exactly when the dending happened. I actually had to go on your Instagram and find the picture of you with the eye patch to determine what date you were in the fucking thing. And then I went back to generally the date. And then I saw the return of Andy Ruther. I was like, oh, that's probably it.
The biggest problem with SoundCloud is they don't list exact dates.
Yeah, it says like 9 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. So yeah, if you guys have episode numbers, that's helpful too. Andy's been really good so far. Andy's like, oh, if you're a free subscriber, you can get this show on YouTube. Well, I'm about to throw Andy in a locker for next episode and be like, what are we doing here? Guys, convert over to the paid subscription soon. Certainly things like the throwback episodes and stuff like that. Those are things that are, you know, going behind for the people who have really shown the support. We appreciate it. We understand if you can't come over, you know, it is what it is. At the same time, for all the people have said, it's Starbucks. It's, you know, one draft Miller Lite. It's whatever. We appreciate it. It's I think Andy would agree with me. It isn't just a lifeline to keep the show going in a way that we want it to, but it has for sure injected some new life into it. I think the coolest part about it is everybody having the community there, seeing you guys all in one place, being able to throw in the chat, what do you guys think about this? Did this work? Is this okay? Blah, 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 blah. All the things. You know, last night.
And also, it's fun to go back to listen to old ones.
Yeah.
Like,
but just like being able to have a video option for slides, being able to have, you know, a place to do lives. I wanted to go live for the Mets opening day today. The Mets are rained out. I'll be in a Vegas hotel room all weekend. I'll probably go live at some point for something while I'm there. So yeah, thanks for supporting. Appreciate it. Come out and see me in Vegas this weekend if you want. Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then of course, April 25th, New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut on April 25th. Those tickets are available now, all in my Linktree bio, in my, at Joe Prano on Instagram, at Joe Prano on TikTok, joeprano.com, all the places. DM me on Substack, whatever you need to do. Hopefully see you guys at the show.
Cool. All right, guys, that's our show. As always, thank you again for the support. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. And as always, stay dirty.